Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. Each week we sit down and discuss our favorite lore topics from within the Destiny universe. Specifically, we intend to take a close look at a specific question that has been nagging us and potentially the Destiny community as a whole. To fulfill that, our discussions tend to assume that you already have some background in the Destiny lore. Despite that, our goal is to be as lighthearted and welcoming to everyone as possible. With that out of the way, let's dive into this week's topic.
Well, yeah, that's groovy. So I really like, I dig tonight's topic. It's a kind of fun one. I feel like it's something I think a lot of people have forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason it hasn't come up, even though Iron Banners like still happened. And
yeah.
And so it's like not even.
Yeah, basically
not even Mr. Salad Hands.
Just ignored for the most part, yeah.
What happened to that pacifist enclave at the edge of the system now that the edge of the system has been exploded? With darkness, Doritos. Which brings us to tonight's topic. So, everyone listening, welcome to tonight's show. This week's topic is what happened to Ephrodite's commune of pacifists at the edge of the solar system now that the darkness is, what, like halfway in? More than halfway in? It's in the inner solar system now.
Yeah, it's past. Yeah, I mean it's past.
Yeah, asteroid belt. Yeah,
it's to Mars. Yeah, so it's in the inner solar system. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. It's not good. Isn't it also in Mercury?
Yeah. It's yep. Mercury. Yep.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It's, like, we need to watch out because when that thing takes out the sun, we're all screwed.
Mm-hmm.
When it darknesses the sun. So yeah, this week's theory is just sort of waxing on like what happened to Ephrodite. I mean, it's kind of a hard call because by all rights, the things that we have had record of or seen transmissions of this season and like sort of toward the end of last season, in terms of a web lore that was released, has been really focused on like everything out there is just like destroyed, offline, done for. And so I really gotta wonder what, like, maybe they fled, but it kind of creeped up on us. Like, it was at the edge of the system before, if I recall correctly, we started the season of the Almighty with like one at the edge of the system already.
Correct.
And I'm trying to think, Bagels, do we know exactly where that enclave was, or is it just like
no.
Edge of the system, planet X?
Yeah, all we really have to go off of is that it's pretty far out there, and Ephrodite refused to give us any sort of information about the settlement's location.
It really makes me wonder, because there's always that chance, like, nah, dude, we head out. Like, where? Like, I suppose I think our system has more than one centaur. You know, like Nessus?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. Could
be. Certainly there's plenty of moons, but like, and then we have, like, exoplanets.
What is the definition of a centaur? Like, just,
It has an irregular orbit, so that's why, like,
okay.
That's why Nessus in this future where the Traveler, like, basically brought it into the main system.
Okay. I see planetesimals located between Jupiter and Neptune.
Planet what?
It says they're planetesimals. So I assume that's some sort of, like partial planet or, like, minor planet located between Jupiter and Neptune is what it says specifically.
I'm looking this. Because I remember looking it up before. Oh, so it's a dwarf-sized planet. Okay, I was completely wrong. Sorry, science and astronomy friends.
But typically, their orbits are unstable.
So it's right about the irregular orbit.
yeah, and it's mostly just because of their interactions with the gravitation of other planets.
Yeah.
Which makes sense since
well, they
they're quite a bit smaller.
They say, I remember seeing a thing, I think it was like in Cosmos or something like that, but it was talking about Jupiter. It was basically saying like Jupiter with its orbits, with like the amount of like celestial bodies it has around it, if like things had assembled differently, like that could be the sun. You know, like before our sun is formed, like if it had formed like in like a different thing over there, because they're basically saying like the amount of things it has orbits, like it was kind of like a failed sun type of celestial body. And I was like, that's super interesting. I had no idea, but it does have a fuck ton of moons. Like they're
this is true,
just everywhere. I don't even know how does it keep track of them. Gravitational laws, but yeah, I think things are kind of SOL for the pacifist commune. Like I'll put it to you this way. It was taking out dormant things, dormant functions, dormant sites of Rasputins. And doesn't it also mess with Osiris when he's out on the edge of the system?
So are you referring to the Weblore Osiris goes out there?
Osiris goes out there and gets the seed. So that happens before the darkness enters the system.
Yep.
But like he can feel it out there, right? Like it's messing with him. It's before the Doritos are there, but like he can like feel the darkness on the edge.
What are you referring to with the, like, because I guess I'm not quite following on the destruction of the outer systems kind of motif you've got going on here.
Either end of last season and beginning of this one. So end of last season, we see, as we do our stuff through the season of the Almighty and progress the story. I think Zavala's there. I think Anna Bray's there. We're in a Rasputin bunker, and we basically see the Dorito ships like taking out planets and them going dark, and Rasputin can't monitor them anymore.
But that could be an allegory. That doesn't necessarily mean that the planets are being taken out. It could just mean that the planets are.
I don't know if they're being like blown out of the water, but like what I'm saying is like the.
I was just struggling to see where you're coming from.
It's destroying like Rasputin stuff, and it's doing whatever it's doing to the planets we can see now. We saw that live last season, and then this season it deactivated Rasputin as it got closer and he tried to like launch an attack.
I was just a little bit confused because I was like, where are you coming up with the destruction of the planets? Because I don't recall that anywhere outside of like.
I took that and I want to say there's a card with Uranus also. No pun intended. where it gets destroyed, but I can't remember off the top of my head, or I can't remember. I'm brain farting right now, I should say. But I want to say it's like it's pretty clear bad stuff is happening. Like we're clearing out people from the planets that it's infecting right now that we can go to.
Right, and that makes sense. I just was unclear about the concept of. Planets or planetoids being destroyed in the outer reaches of the solar system.
Oh, I didn't mean in like a Death Star sense.
Yeah, no, I got gotcha.
Like, yeah,
yeah. Basically, it's overtaken those planets, and the justifiably, we should have concern about any beings that are occupying
and
those
all,
planets.
But it's all it's also like, but like to my point though, like it's also destroying those planets' defenses.
Sure. I won't argue that. It's clearly, I mean, wherever it went past Rasputin's systems, it appears to have knocked his at least sensory capabilities out of those systems.
Well, I feel like it shut down his unless he moved himself to Mars, which would be interesting. If he moved himself to Mars and Mars is taking control, maybe that's why he shorted out. Talking, or maybe he like what we originally woke up. I say moved himself. I bet eventually, even if like Rasputin, his core on Mars is shut down as we pull out of the planet, I bet we find a fork of him somewhere.
Well, we already have confirmation that Rasputin's essentially pulled out of his core. That's been released in game, and the duress cards for Anna. Basically, she is basically throwing Rasputin into an engram as part of, basically as a function of the pillory program that we learned about last season. We know that basically Anna and Jinju are shoving Rasputin into an engram in order to basically stick him into probably an exo. That hasn't been confirmed yet, but that seems to be the intent.
Fucking Fellwinter Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Non-Guardian Fellwinter.
Basically.
My name is Fellwinter.
but we do know that Rasputin has basically been shut down by whatever means it occurred. That's unclear, but it's pretty clear that Rasputin was on his death throes until Jinju was basically able to throw him into an engram.
See, like that's what bothers me about that though. Like, I don't think it's going to be complete. I think it'll be, for all intents and purposes, very effective. Like, don't get me wrong, but I have this like inkling that, like, because they're doing it at the last second, this was something they didn't expect to happen. There's no way they have, like, how can I say this? They probably have Rasputin, like, what he is at his core, like, you know, air quotes core, like, saved at this point. I would agree with that, like maybe, like, the operating system that is Rasputin. But he's going to be like, I think I should be able to access this. And it's not going to be, like, till he links up with it again that he's like, oh, right, satellites, okay, war set now.
Well, that's fair. He won't be able to access any of those external programs outside of what he basically downloaded into. And, yeah, if he's able to link up with them again, he should be able to achieve control of those systems again. I would definitely agree with that. It'd be just like what we did in Season of the Worthy and in previous encounters with Rasputin, basically linking him up to various systems, so all the way back to D1.
I think what we're saying is what we have in that engram is a fresh image of Rasputin.
More or less. It's a little bit complicated because it's pretty apparent that Rasputin, at the very least, has some level of consciousness. Even if it's a computer consciousness, it's a little bit more complex than just, like, creating an image, I would argue.
I mean, I'm oversimplifying, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I don't mean, like, a one-to-one, like, yeah, you can just like, let's just go image Rasputin. Over here, like, hold on, guys, like, you need, what happened to your laptop, Randy? Like, well, let's see, alright, let's load up a fresh Rasputin.
Right.
I'm not saying that, but like it's like an oversimplification for our purposes here.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I would say it's more kind of that. Like, it probably has some modicum of memories, but I always wonder, like, does he have memories so much as he has logs? Which I get there's a lot of overlap in those terms, especially when you think of like AI, but I don't think his memory exists in the way that ours does.
I wouldn't argue that either.
Because he's like, I mean, he's a fucking Sputnik Warsat that they like took its base programming and just like roided
it
up to
11.
Yeah.
No, I agree there completely. He's gonna as a computer based life form, or if you want to call him a life form, that's probably taking it too far. But as a computer based consciousness. Certainly he's going to have the way he processes information and therefore stores that information is simply going to be different than a human brain. I would certainly agree with that.
Yeah, so
and,
like,
and a log seems like a more accurate way to portray that. A series of logs and or videos, basically.
However he compresses and stores like access to what have you, like all I'm putting out there is I wouldn't be surprised if like you get like a little like Carmen Sandiego-y with putting Rasputin back together, like, where in the solar system is Rasputin?
Well, this is Rasputin's leg over here.
Yeah, I found, well, I don't think it's his leg, but it's a pretty good leg. It's the same make, like, no, he needs his leg. But this is a good, we have this leg. We can still look for the other leg, but come on, like, we're on a time crunch. Oh, but I digress. Yeah, I really think that we're gonna do something with helping them put together, or like Anna Bray is going to do it, and that's gonna become like part of her subplot, and we just help with like part of it.
Yeah, I definitely think at some point this season Rasputin's gonna come fully back into the picture, either as his exo self or as we try to help Anna put him back together. That I agree with that.
What like he pushes him back out to Euclid. Or not Euclid, I'm a derp.
You mean,
Europa, yeah.
Yeah. Tying Europa into Rasputin's plotline, I'm not quite sure how that all pieces together. It could be that he comes back into the picture next season, and we have to use that engram basically in, like, the Deepstone Crypt. Something like that.
I mean, it could be a hot minute before he comes back. It could be a few seasons down the road, and I don't mm-hmm. mean that come on, we're like doing to the Deepstone Crypt. Like, I think that'll be on that road.
Sure.
I think Rasputin's like such a big player that everyone calls them Dorito ships, but the more I look at those ships, the bagels, and you've probably heard me say this when we're playing together, but like the more I see those darkness ships, a little tangent here, I just feel like they're the bad guys from like the first two Star Fox games.
Ah, yeah, you've referenced this before, and I've unfortunately not played Star Fox, so...
I've not played... Alright, Bagel, we're fixing this. We're fixing this. No, because you can play it like... We're fixing this. You're playing it tonight. You're playing it... You're playing it tonight. There's like... And it's like... Woe to all listeners. Completely legal.
Emulator.
Well, it's, I think there's like a web-based emulator where you're like allowed to play it's like certain games that have been like retired.
Oh.
It was like a museum of games type of thing. Like,
yeah, yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, I think usually those are more so like Asteroids type games, like traditional arcade
at
games.
This point,
but...
Yeah, but, oh man, we're gonna find a way, fans. If I have to mail him, if I have to get Bagels a Super
physical
Nintendo
copy
classic,
of it,
a Super Nintendo classic for his goddamn birthday.
I do have a Super Nintendo, I could just buy the cartridge online somewhere.
That might be expensive. It's a really popular game.
That's fair, but yeah.
I just
want to
manage
if it's justifiable, I can.
Well, I mean, all right. So the second one, so Star Fox 2 was developed for the Super Nintendo, but never released.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, so this is, I will say this, like, internet friends, I remember when someone found the, like the almost finished product and released it online back in, like, the earlier internet days of my youth, and then someone fan-translated it into English. Some things are different, yeah. And, like, so, like, I got a, like, taste of it back in high school. I was like, this is bitchin'. Like, this is... So that was super cool. But they released it officially, and, like, they changed some things from that leak that I noticed. But that's on the Super Nintendo Classic, and now it's in the... if you have a Switch, listeners, it's in the Super Nintendo...
collection or something like that?
The online thing, yeah, where you can play the old games. Yeah. And that one's really fun. If you hit select while you're playing, like the wings of your ship like drop down into little feet, and you're in like a little walker now. Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great game. I definitely recommend it. Well, they brought some of those elements back in later games, but like, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry for the Nintendo tangent.
Fair enough.
Sorry. But that's always what I imagine I'm fighting. I'm like, you fucking Andross lackey bastard.
But yeah, we're here to talk about Aphrodite and her pacifist colony.
Aphrodite and her pacifist colony. I think, well, all right, so back to what the darkness is doing. There's also the theory that the darkness is de-terraforming planets.
or I guess like that's like an air quotes. I don't believe that's like an actual term, but it's basically like whatever the Traveler did to make it life. There's a theory going around that that's what the Doritos and AKA the Darkness are undoing, or like doing the reverse of.
Yeah, it isn't necessarily de-terraforming. It could also be just
dying,
just making it into its own image or something akin to that as well. It's definitely doing something, but it's pretty unclear at this point what it's actually attempting to do.
Well, if I remember, I will say this, if I remember, you know, going back to, and granted it is a metaphor, but the gardener and the winnower,
mm-hmm.
the winnower's flowers wither
mm-hmm.
and become a dead spot.
But like potentially the gardener can like move back over it. So I feel like if this is like if what they're doing is an allegory for that, like if all the planets the Traveler touched on the way through that didn't have life, like all of a sudden could do life.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I think that it's just like essentially terraforming for like the Vale, the unnamed species yet to appear to pop into the picture and basically occupy those planets because it's terraformed them into a situation where it's appropriate for them. I don't think that's probably what's happening. I think it's more likely that it would instead be de-terraforming or basically undoing the Traveler's work. I would agree with that being a more likely scenario.
Yeah, and I think either though, in either event though, that's dangerous for whoever might be hanging out on those outer planets, right?
Sure, I will grant you that.
And I want to say, I wonder. So is there ever any sort of contrast between how far out the Drifter went versus how far out Ephrodite's commune is?
Not particularly.
I know he goes the farthest out. Like, he's, like, actually, like, I think almost left the solar system.
My impression is that he went past the Kuiper Belt.
Yeah, he's in the exo part of the solar system. Like he's still loosely in our system's gravity pool, right?
Yes.
Yep. Which that makes another, because the Awoken don't count, right? Like I guess like no Earthling has ever made it outside of the system proper. Like no one like past the exoplanets, like between systems now.
Yeah, the only reference to inner solar travel is in Revelations and what's the other one? Last Days and Kraken Mare. Those two lore books, they reference interstellar travel and how basically you don't want to do it within the solar system.
Right?
Because it could basically implode it.
Yeah.
Traveling outside the solar system.
Okay, so there is a record of it. Ooh. But yeah, guardians have. I think we can say like there's no record of any guardians making it past that.
Yeah, and I don't know that they actually ever implemented the interstellar travel. My impression is that they had it ready to go, and that's basically the point where the Last Days of Kraken Mare picks up.
Well, yeah, and then you have like the Exodus Project and all that, right?
I don't know that would have taken advantage of that technology though, because Rasputin was trying to shut down the interstellar travel. I think as that was part of his fears about what's the name of the scientist that gets shot down out of the sky? Pell? Yeah, Pell. Dr. Pell.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he didn't want her, or, yeah, there's two Dr. Pells. one's female, one's male. They're married.
Oh, man.
But he wanted to shut down that research so badly, and he knew that it was almost ready, and he knew that it could potentially be a conduit for whatever the darkness ended up being, essentially. He didn't know specifically about the threat, as what I kind of gathered, the books don't try and delve into that topic very much, but certainly there was a link there between the darkness and basically whatever that interstellar travel was linking us to out there. So yeah, there were a lot of concerns there.
Everything the Golden Age seemed to interact or like glean from the darkness just seemed to be hella bad news.
Yeah.
just take the moon, for example. Why go to the edge of the system when the darkness can fuck you up right here?
Right?
You didn't have to leave Earth's orbit. Like, let's do this.
Back to the colony, I'm not quite sure. Obviously, we don't have any information out there right now. It basically, anything could be happening to them. In the frame of they are out there when the ships arrive. That's pretty much the impression that we get. Efferdy clearly isn't back from what we can tell. So what I'm going to do is propose a few different thought processes that I've had in results of the pyramid ships basically showing up at their doorstep. And so as pacifists, they wouldn't try and combat them more than likely unless they perceive them as a great enough threat to basically try and fend them off. And so my thought process is, what if instead of trying to basically kill them off, that this being the darkness ships, what if instead they try to bring the colonists onto the side of the darkness ships? And what if that message is much more well received by the pacifist colony, because the darkness, as to this point, has not shown any direct conflict with us. It's all been very off to the side and very just, I'm going to try and win you over with gifts, at least to us directly. What if the pacifists see that opposition to the conflict that the traveler always brings them into as a beneficial aspect of the darkness ships? So I could see the pacifists actually being more willing to join with the darkness ships as a result. What are your thoughts, Taylor?
Well, it's curious. It's definitely curious, because we know,
well, it's curious how they would take it, right? Even if they don't try to, I can definitely see the pacifist, monk style, if, like, someone's literally attacking them, well, like, yeah, I'm not gonna let you attack me. like, type of thing, like, that's...
Yep.
There's no... You didn't really break your vows in that sense, I think.
Defense is entirely different than offense. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's that. The fact that everything we've seen demonstrated be fucked up that we can confirm 100% has been technology, specifically electric,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
By way of Rasputin and what's been going on with him. I'm hesitant to say if they weren't ready for the darkness when it showed up. I'm curious if they could get off the planet. I feel like what's happening in the inner system especially, but as it gets closer to the influential like sphere of the traveler, or deeper within it, let's say, better yet, I think that might explain the contrast between how quickly things seem to go down in those transmissions and at the beginning of the season, and as to what we're seeing taking place now that the season's in full swing. So that's another thing I would be interested to know, and that's not really in contrast to anything you're saying, more of like a yes and.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because even if they're not being attacked, if they can't leave, you're kind of a captive audience to whatever parlay the darkness might be trying to do. Because, like, if I understand correctly, it's a commune of guardians. Like, it's not like there's, like, regular people out there. Like, it's all people with ghosts or without ghosts, but, like, risen.
Yeah, we don't know for sure if there aren't any, like, civilians also out there, for sure. But from the sound of it, it's mostly focused about non-aggressive guardians.
Guardians, yeah.
But to your point about getting off planet, from everything we've seen so far, the only interference with direct travel is if it seems to be about to impact with the pyramid ships themselves, that I've seen anyway. So Asher, in the very first card of Duress and Egress, he launches a bunch of projectiles just at the pyramid ship on Io. And he finds that they all just basically stop. They don't explode. They don't stop existing. They just stop. And they're like
stasis.
Pretty much, if you will. it's certainly an allegory for what's to come. And I agree. It sounds like a lot taste. Like yeah. And so it's interesting. Certainly, the pyramid ships probably have the ability to stop basically anything they want to from functioning with that power. But so far, it's only if it's been fired directly at the ships. And with clear intent to damage them or attempt to damage them.
I would say in 2 out of 3, I believe that transmission that took place that Zavala and Anna are there for in the bunker. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's trying to attack them. Unless they just perceive like what he is in his equipment as a threat. Because I mean that's really the truth. He did end up attacking them. I don't believe in those instances he was launching Warsats at them. I believe in that little cutscene he's just like showing their progress. He's like, yeah, these look at what they're doing. They're just like coming in. The planets like drop off his radar.
Oh, so you're referring to like the sensory probes, essentially, not like the.
Perhaps you know, Rasputin is a threat, and then whatever is attached to him, they're just like, no, like I know better. Like, you're just gonna try to attack me with these probes, and like shut it off. Like, I guess that's a potential. I'm admitting that up front, but there was no aggression in that cutscene Rasputin's behalf. Like, he didn't launch anything at them yet.
It could be a passive thing, though, too. With such a large field of pyramid ships on the playing field there, what if they just automatically shut down any electronics within that, basically, that field of ships?
Well, then that goes back to, I guess, my first point.
And I get that. I'm just thinking if... Yeah, I don't know.
Wonder, because like that's just like I wonder about it. Like everything you said, and I'm sorry to bring it up and like take us down that, but that's just like you got me thinking on that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, well, fuck. Like, like could they leave? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if they preemptively shut down those sensors intentionally or not. From what we can tell is they just move through them and basically they shut down.
And you're done. You're done.
Uh-huh.
And you're done. Done. Dunions. Goodbye.
Yeah. But yeah, I really don't, unless again, it's just like it just shows the pyramid ships moving through those areas and they're turning dark because basically, Rasputin is using that as a metaphor for him losing control of that sector. We don't have confirmation that he lost sensor control in those sections. It was just that the pyramid ships were moving through those, and he showed us the areas turning dark.
I took that because of the progression on the wall and the lore that they were releasing that sort of reflected part of that at the time on the web, or sort of reflected like the other side of what was taking place. I am leaning more toward that was a live sort of stream of what was happening, because at that point they hadn't quite reached the inner solar system yet, or at least like the planets we were on. Or they were like about to, like it was silly. Like I, so like that's what I took it as, because that's what finally like got the, got Zavala to like start moving his ass with the rest of the Vanguard. He was like doing his own thing, I think, like up to then, but then at least that was the impression I got. Now he's like, okay, I got to bring this up at the next team meeting.
But then again, even on the wall, he was still able to detect those ships, or if not detect those ships, he knew where they were. That wall represents his knowledge of where the ships are.
Yeah, but that's like a tactile board. That's like to me that's slightly different, I guess.
And yeah, it's hard to say exactly what. Yeah. We just know that. I'm trying to find exactly what it looked like before the ships moved through too.
Looked like dilly-dit.
Because he had everything out to Uranus, is that right?
Oh, har har the bagels.
Or no, he had everything out to Saturn. Lit up initially. And then, does that change? I'm just more so curious at this point to see. Regardless, I'm not quite sure. I'm just not quite convinced that he ever lost sensors as the ships were coming in, just on the basis that he at least had some idea of the magnitude of forces coming in throughout the weeks.
I mean, knowing where something's position is doesn't mean it's the same thing as having eyes on it.
True, but you would still need some sort of sensor.
Well, no, like, you could do it by process of elimination. Like, he could know where they are roughly based on where he can't see anything.
Just as an example.
I'm not saying that's how he does it, but, like...
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not quite convinced either way that he, that either, it could either be that the sensors were destroyed, or it could be that the ships just basically overran everything. And
that's all now.
But yeah, no, I get where you're coming from too.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to say exactly.
I feel like it's the most craziest of talk.
Yeah.
There, like just wondering if they even could leave, if they wanted to, maybe they can't. I don't know.
It is a question.
It is a question. That's true. Thank you.
I'm glad we've established
this. Thank you to Bagels. I'm very glad. I'm very glad we could work through our is it or is it not a question doubts.
Why is the show? No.
I will say this, as to the rest of your points, so far I think whether it's true or not, we've heard claim of at least three different factions of Taken. We have the Drifters Taken.
Mm-hmm.
We have Savathun's Taken, formerly Oryx's, mm-hmm. and then we have the Taken that the Darkness are in control of. Who we fight in the weekly missions, for example.
That's Savathun's. She's trying to stop us from contacting the pyramids in the contact patrol missions.
I don't know if I agree with that 100%.
Okay. Expand on that.
I'm not saying the Savathun's eyes aren't Savathun's eyes, or like the Savathun's envoy aren't Savathun's envoy. What I guess like I'm going after is that, how can I say this? The Taken can't be people taken into the Ascendant Realm and then touched by darkness, converted by darkness, converted through darkness, and then brought back, their shape changed, without the darkness permission. Or is like the darkness also an element and an entity?
I think part of the issue there is how Bungie has referred to the darkness. That it's a little bit unclear at this point how they want us to establish what the darkness is and what versus like what the hive are versus what the deep is. At this point, it's kind of seeming like the deep, which is where the Taken come from. The orcs took the power from the deep, not the darkness, to create the Taken. It's kind of looking like the deep and the darkness are two distinct entities, or at least there's like some sort of distinction there in how they should be referred to.
Well, I mean, all right, so I guess for what it's worth, I always thought the deep and the darkness were, how can I say this, representations or maybe like different faces of the same thing, because I think it's pretty clear when they go into the description of the Taken process, the role that the darkness plays in it. And I'm not saying you can't have it both ways if like these guys, the Dorito ship guys, like are not the darkness, and then there's always like, it goes back to, remember when everything was a minion of the darkness?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect to consider as well. But I guess my overall point is like, if the darkness plays a role in the Taken's creation, I get that Savathun's trying to rebel against them, but I guess my problem is, why would they let her do that with something they have a hand in creating?
Okay.
Like, I don't think we're gonna get stasis powers to use it against them. I'll tell you that right now.
To use against the Taken?
The darkness.
The darkness itself, okay.
Yeah, unless they don't have control of the Taken for somehow. But then, like, how can the Drifter do it, but not these guys? Like,
I really don't know. It's pretty murky on how to distinguish the darkness as a consciousness versus the darkness as like an overarching just sense of evil or dread or something like that.
The bodies, if you will.
Yeah, it's, so far we haven't encountered the darkness as a consciousness, and so I'm reluctant to straight up just say that the darkness does have a consciousness. Like, even the pyramid ships, I've referred to them as darkness throughout this, but even that, I'm not 100% convinced that they are the darkness. In the same vein as, I'm not 100% convinced that the Traveler is the sole representation of the light. It's hard to imagine. It's just kind of hard to. The way everything's been set up so far, that's the way it's supposed to appear, and I'm not arguing that it can't be that those are how that's this narrative is supposed to play out. I'm just saying that we need to be cautious about saying that these entities are the representatives. Hello.
Oh, hi.
of the light and the darkness. So, in that same vein, we should be cautious about referring to the Taken as an element of the darkness as well. That I'm just trying to use that as a cautionary point to establish that the Taken might be separate from the darkness.
I mean, I guess they could be. I'm still like I'll try to pull it up just to be sure, but I'm like I'm almost positive.
And we might have to be cautious using anything from D1 here, just on the basis that all the enemies of the Traveler were referred to as of the darkness.
I wouldn't be talking about like in-game mechanic stuff.
No, I get Grimoire cards.
Grimoire cards, Book of Sorrows, what have you?
I'm just trying to use an element of caution there because it just seems to me like there's some sort of distinction there that Bungie is kind of weaving in, and it's hard to really nail down exactly what that is. So it's just a narrative point that I've picked up on, and I feel like I shouldn't just ignore it, personally.
We shall see. Hold on. I'm reading the thing right now, just cursory.
Mm-hmm. You're good.
So, it doesn't say the darkness. I will give it that. It, Eris uses a metaphor, of basically what is taken is like pulled into the jaws of the dark, and like mm-hmm. they see the change, and that's how mm-hmm. they're like, you know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. she questions like, what would we see if I like leapt into the dark? Just as a very loose, like, I'm not crazy. I think there is sure. some I think there is some connection there. That's just me.
Sure. And I'm not saying that there isn't. Sorry, I'm not trying to.
Damn it, Bagels! I know you're saying there isn't. No, I'm missing.
I'm just yeah. It's just there's something there that makes me think that there's some sort of distinction that we need to make between the deep and the taken and the darkness. And in the same vein, the darkness and possibly the pyramid ships, just on the basis that there's certainly some sort of like to your example, just I'm about 95% sure that it's Savathun in the contact public events that's throwing a wrench in our ability to basically she's the one that's making all this taken up in order to stop us from making contact with the many pyramid ships that appear above the moat collector in those events.
I thought call me crazy. I thought what we were doing with the moats was bad for the darkness ships. I didn't think we were like giving them what they wanted.
What it feels like to me is it's us basically reaching out for good or for ill. Now there hasn't been any real confirmation on that yet, but I mean it's called contact, so it makes me feel like it's us just trying to establish some sort of communication with the pyramid ships. And we have multiple instances of Savathun already trying to disrupt that.
I'm not saying Savathun's not doing anything. I just mean I don't know if all the Taken we encounter
are hers.
Are hers.
Sure.
In those
it's worth a question to be sure.
Because like I just have this itchy feeling. I have this itchy feeling that these guys play a role in this. Because if they're just another like interpretation of the darkness, I don't think. Well, one, I don't think we'd be able to like glean new powers with our light through it. Personally, I think that'd be
from the pyramid ships you're referring.
Yeah,
to?
I think that'd be a pretty hard sell. If they're just like another faction, if they're just like another bad guy that we fight, another enemy race.
I'm personally leaning towards that they are. There's some sort of direct counter to the Traveler. It seems like they've set that up at least.
Well, then I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine. How I think we're going to get our powers is either through an enemy faction interacting with the ships and us basically putting a stop to that, but picking up that power in that process. Or the ships we end up making contact with the ships here at some point towards the end of the season. And because of that, we gain the power.
Well, I think we've already made contact with a ship.
That's true. Although in limited fashion.
I mean, it did get in our dome piece, though.
I'm just trying to say that I think there's going to be like a more substantial contact.
I'm not in disagreement there. I guess I would. I would just offer. Yeah, I think there's more than meets the eye. I think especially if she's just like. I think yes, that is Savathun stuff. I think there's a lot to be said for Savathun, who's trying to betray. These guys. Because I think her trying to get out of her worm contract is sort of like a greater nod to these guys either being one and the same or at least like deeply connected to it, perhaps the next level above the deep or the worm gods. Just for an instance. I would say I think whatever she's doing right now, she's at least pretending to do on their behalf. I think they want her to do it.
That could be.
Because I don't think there's anything subtle about what she's doing if it's an open defiance of them.
The only caveat to that is if her defiance is in order to prevent us from basically joining the side of the pyramids. Because if we were to do that, it might prevent her master plan.
No, but I mean, like, she'd be instantly making an enemy of them. Like, it's just, like, it's not, there's no subtlety to it. Like, what's her secret? Like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, she has her fingers in all these sinister soups, and then she's just, like, out there in the open, like, no, fuck you, the darkness. Like, I think she is plotting against them, but I think what she's doing right now is more likely...
in line with what they want.
That's
entirely possible.
That's my hot take on on that. I think for me, if I had to push it real good, as to
push it real good.
Yeah, ooh baby baby, ooh baby baby. that is not our song.
Copyright protected. Shut down. Yeah. DMCA.
Yeah, but it's in the show notes, so don't worry. Please don't.
Sue at us. we make no money. It's entirely free pod with no ads. If I had to, if I had to push it all the way up, and say, I think no matter what happens, whether they're dead or not, they are not a pacifist commune anymore. I think that commune is gone. I think they're either, like, hardened by whatever happened and come back ready to, like, we're going to get some Aphrodite throne people. as one option. I think they're going to come back as perhaps a precursor or even example of what a lot of people seem to like the idea of is a, like a siding with the Darkness Guardian. Or I think they're all are mostly dead. Or like maybe they're not dead, but all their ghosts are dead.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Either dead, or basically aligning with the darkness, or yeah, it's possible that some of them could have escaped. We don't have a whole lot of information yet on that sort of stuff, but it's entirely possible that they could have at some point, because we did have quite a bit of advance warning. Whether or not they would have wanted to is completely up in the air.
I don't even know if we, like, they don't tell us where it is. Like, how would we have let them know? I mean, I suppose, like, maybe Saladin could have, but, like, I kind of figured he was in the doesn't get to know camp.
I just have to assume there's some sort of contact going between the colony and I mean, somebody back here. It's pretty hard for me to imagine that there was complete cutoff of communication.
No, like, I agree with you in the sense that that makes sense. It's just literally, like, all we know is that, like, she wouldn't tell us where it was.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so, like, as far as I know, nobody but, like, its members know where it is.
Yeah, and that seems to be the case.
Which makes sense for, like, a pacifist colony. You don't want, like, people rolling up knowing that they're not going to fight. Let's go kick some pacifist ass.
Right?
Try to basically stay neutral now, you dumb bastard.
A warlord situation 2.0.
Yeah. Exactly. This guy gets it.
So, yeah.
That's sort of how I feel about it, and envision it possibly... probably yeah. Turning out. If I had to turn it to 11, that if I had to turn it to 11, whatever could potentially happen to us, or is going to happen to us, or will have the option of happening to us, has happened to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with that. My only question about those guardians turning to the darkness is whether or not the darkness would want them to. The darkness seems to be reaching out to us specifically as guardians, because of our prowess and our potential to either defend the traveler or, if we turn against it, to defeat the traveler.
I think it's a narrative choice. I think it's one of the sort of like the nod in the season of the Drifter. To there being another you on the other side of that choice.
Sure. And it, yeah, I could, it very well could be just that it is a narrative choice. But yeah, sorry, I was trying to turn it up to 11 and say that.
Oh,
yeah,
damn it, if, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin your...
You're good. it could be that that they are specifically reaching out to us, and therefore they would just demolish that colony and we would never hear from them again. So, but no, I agree with you. It's entirely probable that they aren't specifically reaching out to us and they're trying to convert as many guardians as possible.
Yeah, it's scurry.
Not gonna lie. Scurry to think about. Nah. I would not.
Not envy being out on the edge of a solar system with
yeah,
a pyramid
like,
ship rolling in.
I would just be like, ooh, can I, what if I declined? How about,
at least they have Aphrodite. They can have her throw guardians at the pyramid ships.
Ooh. Can you imagine? Just like, all right, I'm going to keep your ghost back here, but I'm just going to throw you. And when you get in there, just like pop your bubble. Make gigantic holes in their pyramid ship.
I want to see this. Can this be a cutscene, please, Bungie?
Oh, yeah, weaponizing the defensive super. If Ebony comes back for anything, I really want it to be that. That would make me so happy. So
oh
happy. Well, I think that's where I'm at the bagels. I gotta say, like, final score for me, I think I'm gonna give it a 72. Something went down.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna give it a 72. Very highly likely that commune is not there, no matter what happened to the people.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I'll give it a 49. The commune probably doesn't exist anymore, in, at least in its intended operation, being a pacifist colony.
Now it's a war colony.
Right?
It's just a giant property in the shape of the colony.
But I don't think Aphrodite's done for. I suspect that she's got more to play at some point in the future.
Oh, yeah, I don't think she's dead no matter what. I'm sorry, I'll put that out there.
Yep. In fact, I'm quite curious to find out what happens to her. So,
but like, if I guess when I say everyone's dead, like everyone but Aphrodite, I think in the everyone's dead scenario, she most likely gets made like an envoy or some like weird thing.
Sure.
But just from how like I would see them taking that direction of things, mm-hmm. but yeah, no, I'm not saying Aphrodite's dead. I'm saying that commune, she gone.
I gotcha. Yep, I think we're on the same page there.
Right, so we got that one. Well, with that, I guess Bengals, you got any shout outs?
Yeah, want to shout out to I guess the folks out in Oregon in particular. I know there's a lot of folks that are trying to protest, and this is a little bit, I guess, been discussed to death over the past week or so, but
it didn't stop. You can still talk about it.
Yeah, it's not. I know that there have been some rioters, but still, there are. It's our right to be able to protest. It's right within the Constitution to be able to protest when there's injustice in the country, and as such, it's. In my opinion, it's wrong to basically try and send in federal unmarked forces to try and shut that down.
Contractors and all that.
Yeah, it's one of the most pretty authoritarian hard. Things I've heard of in recent days in our country, and I really hesitate to find any sort of position where I could imagine supporting such an action and find a justification for it.
Yeah. Dude, more power to you, the bagels. Just to, I guess to sort of like a piggyback yes and to that, I want to give a shout out to the that poor woman who got basically kidnapped by unmarked in an unmarked van by plainclothed individuals. And I also want to give a, you know, I hope she's okay, but I also want to really give a shout out to the people who caught it on camera and recorded it and made sure the world knew what was happening.
If there's one good thing about this day and age, it's that we have cameras everywhere, in our possession as well. So we can at least get the word out about that sort of stuff.
You know, what's really creepy is I, like, you know how like the Simpsons did it syndrome, but,
you know, in a joking way, Marge once said that as long as everyone keeps secretly videotaping everyone, justice will prevail. And it's really, like, sad how true that sounds sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not a joke. But yeah, so just I'm gonna piggyback on that. With that, guys, I think we're bringing this to a close. My name is Taylor B. You can find me on Twitter at thisisredleader, LITRE, all one word. And of course, you can find our show at Spinfoil Theory. You can email us at spinfoiltheory@gmail.com. If you have any questions or like, hey, what the fuck were you talking about there? Or like, you know, like, Taylor B., what's a Transformers? Why? What was this weird reference you made? I'm not as old as you. What's going on? I will explain it all. I will do my best. And as for the bagels, you know, if you're looking for a group and nobody else will help, and if you can find them,
just play the Mighty Mouse theme.
Maybe you can join the temp chat. and you can play with the Sherpa looking for group master that is the bagels.
But I do exist.
He's out there in the ether. He's a man of mystery and intrigue. Other than that, everyone, like, stay safe. We'll see you next week. I think we have some cool guests lined up that we'll announce here pretty soon on our Twitter, so, you know, definitely check that out. And we're really excited about the coming weeks, so happy to have you here with us while we get through it. So stay safe, we'll see you next time, and bye-bye.
Bye! That's the end of this week's topic, but be sure to check out our past and future episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. If you have any questions about this week's topic, want to discuss Destiny lore with us, or if you just feel like reaching out to us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinfoilTheory, or you can email us via SpinfoilTheory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!